Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
We're talking now about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That word is translated good in Romans 3 and 12, goodness in Romans 2 and 4, goodness in Romans 11, 22, kindness in 2 Corinthians 6, 6, gentleness in Galatians 5, 22, kindness in Ephesians 2, 7, kindness in Colossians 3, 12, kindness in Titus 3, 14. So you can see that when Paul said that with love and joy and peace and long-suffering, there is to be gentleness, he is talking about a life that has been touched by the gospel of Christ and produces within it kindness. You know, it's not always easy to be kind. And in studying this, it occurred to me, in fact, I learned some things, was reinforced in my mind how that kindness may indeed be selfish. Have you ever thought about being kind and your kindness really being a cover-up of a selfish attitude? Let me see if I can give you a few examples of that. For example, there is one in the Old Testament, and as usually, the Old Testament is filled with examples that give us principles that you'll find everywhere. Let me read you a very familiar story from the Old Testament. There were two boys, and they were named Jacob and Esau. And we have a story about them, very familiar. We read that the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way, and Esau despised his birthright. Now, when you stop and think about that, then here's Esau, and he says to Jacob when he smells some of his cooking, "I'm a hungry fellow. I'd like to have some of that." And Jacob, out of selfish kindness, said, "Well, good. I'd like you to have some of it. I want to be kind to you. I want you to have some. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be kind enough to let you have some if you'll sell me your birthright." And so Jacob demonstrated kindness to Esau. But it was to Jacob's benefit. It had in it an element of selfishness. And therefore, we must be careful to be sure that we do not allow our selfishness to be manifest in what we do. Let me read you a passage from the New Testament to show you that there is a possibility of our doing this very thing. In the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, listen to what Jesus said. "But love your enemies and do good and lend." Now that's being kind. But listen to what else he says. "Hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And so Jesus said, when you are kind toward people, doing good for people, don't let it be something that's done from a selfish standpoint. When we do good or show kindness to others in order that we may receive something back in return, that's selfish kindness. Jesus said, that we're going to be the children of the highest. That's not the way we do. We don't do good, show kindness, in order to get somebody to be kind to us and do something for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you do good to them that do good to you, what's the difference in you and sinners? He said, the man out in the world will be kind to the man if he thinks he's going to get something back in return from that. Now, when you stop and think about this, this is truly a test of character. This is a test of the impact and the effect of the gospel upon our lives. That we do good because we are kind, because we are gentle. And we don't do it without, or we do it without any thought of receiving something back in return. How many things do I pass up? And opportunities to be gentle, and the word's translated good, to be good and to do good, because I think that if I do that, what am I going to get back from it? And if I'm not going to receive anything in return from it, then I let that opportunity pass by. That's not the kind of kindness that Jesus is talking about. Listen again to what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 27. Notice the statement made by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 27. Listen. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's hard to accept, isn't it? We'll come back to that sometime later before our lesson's up. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. But then he puts on the other side of that, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I never read that verse, and I'm satisfied the very mention I remind you, somebody in the New Testament. When Jesus had been with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he had prayed earnestly, and then he came to his disciples and found them asleep and said, you can wake up now. And he goes out, and here comes the mob that's ready to take him. Judas comes and kisses him, as though he's saying, I want to demonstrate my kindness toward you, my affection and my feeling for you. When in reality, behind that was selfishness. He had already bargained for 30 pieces of silver to sell the Lord. And out of his selfish attitude, before this mob and in the presence of Jesus and his disciples, he pretended that he was rendering unto him an act of kindness, when in reality, it was an act of selfishness, in order that he might betray the Lord and demonstrate to them what was taking place. And so, let us stop and think about it a little bit. Jesus kissed the Lord and then betrayed him. Are we guilty of complimenting somebody as an act of kindness and then behind their back do things that are detrimental to them? That's pretty searching, isn't it? When I'm looking at somebody and I say good things about them, an expression of kindness, and then later on, maybe talking to somebody else, the tone, the content are altogether different. What's happened? Why would I, in their presence, compliment, say good things, an indication that I want to be kind and good and gentle, and then turn around and out of their presence do something and say something that would be hurtful and harmful? Was it because in their presence, when I made some complimentary remark that I was selfish and expected something back in return, and thereby I was demonstrating an indication of selfish kindness. Then again, sometimes we may have been guilty of finding somebody and said, "Let me tell you something. I want to be real kind to you. Let me tell you what somebody said about you." And what somebody said was not very complimentary. And we pass on what somebody else has said. What kind of kindness is that? When we say that we think you ought to know, and yet in reality no good will come from that. Sometimes it can bring about ruptured relationships. People would be better off if they didn't know. I'm satisfied that my life has been happier and better because of many things that I have never heard. Nobody ever told me what somebody said about me. In fact, I'm satisfied if I had heard all the uncomplimentary things that people had said about me, I might be so discouraged that I wouldn't want to preach anymore. I might just want to quit. So it's not an act of kindness for me to say to somebody, "You know, I was with somebody just recently, and here's what I heard them say." And then again, in the book of Judges, there are two examples. One of where the king was killed by somebody that said, "I want to be kind to you," and then took advantage of it and stabbed them to death. And then again, you remember Delilah in Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. She said that she wanted to be real nice. And out of that, a man got in real difficulty pretending to be kind. There's selfish, pretended kindness. And there's a preacher then also that did some preaching. And he didn't do it in kindness. There's a little book in the Old Testament called Jonah. God appeared to him and said, "I want you to go down and preach to the Ninevites." And Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He is afraid that if he preached that they would repent, knowing God's grace and God's favor, that God would not destroy them. And he wanted to see them destroyed. So he went the other direction, caught a boat. Finally, he was cast overboard because of the problems. Swallowed by a whale. The whale spit him out on the shore and he got up preaching, but he wasn't preaching out of kindness. He went to the Ninevites and said, "Repent. You're going to be destroyed." But I doubt if there was any kindness and gentleness in his voice. For if you turn to the last chapter of the book of Jonah, and God let a gourd grow up. Back Jonah prayed in the fourth chapter of Jonah and said, "Let me die. I knew that's what was going to happen. I knew you'd save these people. You would not destroy them if they repented." And that's the reason I didn't want to go. So he's all upset about it and prayed about it. And then there's a gourd vine grew up, made a shade for him, and he enjoyed that. And finally that thing withered. And he is upset about it. And in the latter part of that chapter, God reminded Jonah, "You've been real upset about these people, the fact that I have not destroyed them. What about when I made that vine grow up and let you enjoy the blessings of that? What then?" And I'm afraid sometimes that I may have been guilty in times past, and I pray that I won't be in the future, of preaching and the Spirit that may not have been as gentle and as kind as it should have been. I suspect I may have preached some sermons that had in them the idea that I'm being kind to you because I want to see your soul saved. But in the tone and the attitude and the disposition, I may have had the same tone and disposition and attitude that Jonah did. And if so, indeed that was selfish kindness. But then again, there is another passage that I want to read. In Psalms 141, there's a statement made that I think is very appropriate in view of this. Sometimes we misunderstand kindness. I read a while ago from Proverbs 27, where Solomon said, "The wounds of a friend are faithful." That's good for us. It's difficult for us to be wounded and appreciated. Sometimes wounds are important. I was wounded severely. Whenever they split me wide open and took my heart out and put in three bypasses, that was a severe wound. And I tell you, I was sore. They gave me that pillar and said, "You've got a cough." I hugged that pillar just as tight as I could hug that thing, because every time I coughed, it felt like that thing had just split back open. But that was a wound of a friend, a faithful wound. And I have no doubt that it saved my life. And that's what Solomon said. But I want you to listen now to what the psalmist said. Psalms 141, verse 5. "Let the righteous smite me." What? "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness." What? How can anybody do that and be kind? What was the doctor doing when they carried me into the operating room and took a saw, I think. I'm not sure, but I believe that's what they used. And sawed that bone right down the middle. Kindness? Oh, yes. That's what the psalmist said. "Let the righteous smite me." Why? "It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer shall be for their calamities." And so, kindness then does not overlook what's wrong. Sometimes we get the idea that if sin is pointed out and sin is condemned, then that's being unkind. The greatest kindness that we could show to one is to help them see their sins and make the necessary correction. And that's what the psalmist said. So, when Paul said, "The fruit of the Spirit is gentle, kind, kindness," it's not to be selfish kindness. It may be the kindness that will wound. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was kind when he preached that sermon. He said, "You have taken by wicked hands and slain and crucified the Christ." That's plain. That's plain. We read then, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." What? Out of kindness, Peter helped them see that they had sinned. And it pierced their hearts. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's not kindness for me or any preacher to stand in the pulpit and to ignore sin and fail to point out sin. I don't need to do it. Must not do it like Jonah did. But it still must be done. And let us remember that kindness belongs to the fruit of the Spirit, and the gospel of Christ will produce that in my life. And so we've seen that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness. Are these in our lives? The gospel will put them there if we'll open our hearts to them. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, is your heart open to the gospel of Christ, and will you let it mold your mind, control your thoughts, direct your steps, and lead you to believe that Jesus is God's Son? Turn from your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized. If as a Christian we have failed to demonstrate these in our life or develop them in our lives, let us realize the importance of them and let us be kind, not expecting anything in return, but out of the goodness and the kindness of our heart, do good.